Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired, break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Today in the studio, we have the inventor of the drip clip, Greta Larson. Hey, Greta.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And Greta is part of a series that I'm putting together to help those of you developing products. How do you get them into the marketplace? Who are the connectors? What are some of the steps that you need to take in order to get your product to the market? What's the length of time? What are the costs involved to develop a product? What are some of the concepts that she and coaches that she's worked with and the concepts that made it easier for her to get her product into the marketplace? Right now, the drip clip is being tested in Sherwin-Williams stores in Maryland, North Carolina, Minnesota, and Colorado. And so you're well on your journey.
Yes.
Yes, to get your product into stores. So tell us a little bit about the drip clip.
So the drip clip is a simple clip that just clips onto your sink faucet. So anytime you do a painting job, I always ask people, what is the thing that drives you the most crazy? You buy these beautiful, expensive, nice paintbrushes.
Yeah.
And you wash them out to dry and you lay them on your counter, and inevitably you get rust on your counter, rust on your sink, your nice brush, the bristles are bent for the next time.
Or and they so become very hard.
They become very hard. That's yeah. right. And so I just thought to myself, there has to be a better way. And I invented the drip clip, which now is just a clip that hooks onto your sink faucet, and you hang your paintbrushes to dry after you've washed them. The bristles hang straight, no more mess all over your sink and counter, and it works out great.
Oh, that's so cool. And Stephen Key of InventRight, mm-hmm. he has a YouTube TV channel.
Yeah.
And he has featured your drip clip on his show and talks about it, so I'll have that in the show notes.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yes, he does. Yes, he's been an integral part of my journey for sure.
So he's one of the people that you've connected with on your path to get yes. your product into the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, you were brought to my attention by Troy Pongratz. Mm-hmm. He and his wife, Yvonne Ng, they're both mechanical engineers by trade. And Troy has a company in which he helps people get their products developed.
Yes.
Helps create them.
Correct.
So he was featured, him and his wife Yvonne, in episode 76 and episode 82 that's coming up. And Troy sent me an email saying, you got to meet Greta. And so I called you up.
Yeah.
We had this delightful conversation, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's got presence. You've got a great product, which is very simple.
Yeah.
Like people all around will say, oh my gosh, that's such a simple idea. I mean, why didn't I think of it?
I've had a lot of people ask me that. And also saying, you know, this should have been invented 50 years ago. And it just goes to show that there are still very, very simple ideas. As Stephen Key says, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to come up with a clever product and as simple as the drip clip.
Yeah, exactly.
And I met Troy. He is so fantastic. So he helped me along this journey with designing, taking over like the second part of the design of the clip. And so he's just been an integral part of this also. And just any idea I have or we really talk about everything that we're doing together, and he comes up with creative ways to make the drip clip, you know, better. And he's been helpful along the path for sure.
Yeah. And so he wasn't the first person you went to develop the prototype?
No, he was not the first person. I had a different engineer we drew the concept and they kind of did a 3D CAD model, but then Troy has helped me to improve it.
Okay. Because it wasn't quite the right fit around the sink or?
Yeah. We just did, we made it a little bit different dimensions and added some extra things to the clip to make it slide on the faucet easier. And
okay. So. Yeah, because that's what I learned in talking with Troy, that there's like 3 to 5 prototypes or,
yeah.
you know, that you look at, you know, to try to yep. make it right. And 5 is kind of the magical cutoff. Like, yeah. You don't want to go past that.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, and, you know, then he does 3D prints of the project, so you can really see, in a way, how they work, and then you can improve on that based on those 3D prints. So you're not making a prototype mold or anything, like an actual mold. You're just doing a 3D print, so you can see how the product functions and maybe how you can make it better.
Sure. And how long of a process was that before you had your exact product?
Gosh, well, I invented the drip clip 3 years ago in July.
Okay.
So
in 2014.
14, mm-hmm. Yeah. And just recently, it was probably December when we had the final product.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In December of 2016.
Yep.
Okay. And yeah. Then from there, once you got the product designed,
yeah.
Then you had packaging.
Packaging. And actually, we're making an additional larger size drip clip also. So the drip clip that you see in the smaller version, it actually stretches. So it's made of polypropylene. So it stretches really easily. But I think we decided let's make a bigger size also, because then I think people's eyes are drawn to the two sizes. You know, the larger and the smaller.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Excellent. So let's go back a little bit and let's share a little bit more about like how you ended up getting to this point. Because you've got a partner in New York.
Yeah, in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you just want to kind of start with where I started? How I came up with it?
And how you came up with it, but also let's go backward and where'd you grow up and, you know, what's your family structure like and how did you become an inventor?
So as I had said, I've always been one that have... I've always had ideas. And so I just remember clearly many summers coming to my dad and saying, "Dad, what do you think about this idea? What do you think about this idea?" And he'd be like, "Oh, yeah, I think that's a good idea," you know? But he just didn't know how to follow through with any of it because he had never done that before.
Sure.
And so
what did he do for a living?
He's a dentist.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your mom?
My mom works with my dad.
Okay.
So she's a teacher by trade, and then she works with my dad. And so it wasn't like I would say my family is an entrepreneurial family, but I wouldn't say it was necessarily in the product, like developing products. And that was more how my mind has always worked, is just
developing
products.
And he's in the service business dental and practice.
Correct.
A private practice.
Yes, that's right.
Where at?
In Forest Lake.
Okay,
yeah.
Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how your mind is kind of always, my mind is always spinning with new ideas, and it always has been. So when I went to college, I actually went to be a communication major and
Where
a
at?
Business minor in Minnesota.
Okay.
And I graduated with that, and I ended up working in a clinic as my first job. And I decided, you know, I think I want to be a nurse. I worked full-time, and I went to nursing school and became a nurse. And that's what I've done for the last 14 years.
A registered nurse?
Yes, a registered nurse. And I've loved that career, but I've also just always been one that thinks of ideas. So then my husband, all now, living with my husband, he gets to be the recipient of all these ideas.
And where did you meet him?
In college also.
Okay.
Yes.
What college?
We went to Bethel College.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so with this particular idea, though, I was painting some furniture. I love to paint furniture. And I was painting a table and chairs that I was redoing. And I had bought this really expensive chalk paint. Have you heard of chalk paint?
Yes.
So you don't have to sand your furniture or anything. You can just paint right over it. So, and then the brushes along with that.
Does it work better than spray paint?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I've been spray painting my outdoor furniture.
Paint works too. Yes, spray paint for outdoor furniture. Chalk paint more for wood.
Okay.
But so I had bought these expensive paintbrushes. They were probably $40 a brush. And so this time when I was washing them out, I really didn't want to ruin my bristles like I had been in the past. And so I was washing out my brush, and I thought to myself, there's just got to be this clip that hangs on, you know, goes onto the faucet, and you just put your paintbrush in, you know, through the holes and hang them. So I called my husband in, and I said, "Don't you think that this needs to be here?" And he started laughing, and he's like, "You know, I think there really does need to be a clip on the faucet that hangs your paintbrushes." So I knew that this idea was, it, first of all, it was a small enough product, probably cheap enough to make.
Sure. Yeah.
So compared to my other ideas, some of them probably would have been way too detailed to actually get to the marketplace. So this one was just a piece of plastic, and it was so simple.
Yeah.
So I was so excited about this idea because I knew, like, this really does have to exist. So we ordered these little meltable plastic beads off of the internet, and we made our first prototype in our house.
Okay.
Just by molding the plastic together, and then okay. we put the paintbrushes to hang on there, and we're like, it works, you know?
So molding, so you had to melt it?
Yeah, we just melted, yeah.
Like
just,
with what?
With, it's just water and these meltable beads.
Oh, they're meltable.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they're just meltable
like
beads.
Over hot water?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you just soak them in hot water, and then it turns into a harder plastic, and you just mold it over how, you know, the design that you want. So it's
sure.
so funny because we still have the designs that we did in our house before anyone even knew about this idea.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
okay,
it's
yeah.
cool.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Take a few pictures.
Yeah. That's
that,
right. I should.
Along with your
really
drip clip.
I really should. I know. So, and then the journey of, you know, researching, does this idea exist? You know, patent searching, that kind of stuff.
And so, then, you know, this reminds me a little bit of anyone who's doing research on a concept. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Brené Brown, but she's a social scientist, and she has done a lot of work on shame and vulnerability.
Okay.
And she interviewed like 10,000 people. Her process was to gather all the research, mm-hmm. right, and your invention, right,
yep.
and your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've kind of solidified them, then go check to see what's out there.
Right.
And that sounds similar with the product that,
yeah.
you know, you were tinkering around and until you got something worthwhile. And mm-hmm. then you're like, we're onto something here. And did you go to a bunch of stores to see if they had the product?
Yes, I definitely did that. I went to a ton of stores. But I did most of my research online because that's the beauty of
yeah.
the internet these days is just that really, I mean, most you can find so much on that. And then I did Google patent search, and I didn't find anything that existed like this. So that made me even more excited once I knew that I had really done my due diligence in trying to figure out if this product was
yeah.
in the market or
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
But then, so my thing was, is like when you have an idea or something that you want to do in life, any time in life.
Sure.
You would go to your family and your friends
yeah.
who have walked that path.
Sure.
And they can help guide you. You know, they can help to, right? But nobody, not
yeah.
one person I knew had ever done that.
Yeah.
You know, and I looked to my dad so much for so much advice, and he was just like, I'm sorry, I just can't help you with this. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that is when I decided to take my idea to an engineer. And he had told me, he was also very pivotal because he had told me, you know, I have seen people, I just want to warn you. He's like, I've seen people come in here and have really good ideas. But he said, I've also seen people with really good ideas lose their shirts trying to get their
yeah.
products out there.
Yeah.
And that really hit home to me because I was like, you know, I mean, for me, this is a product, a small product. And so I went home and I just researched, how do you get your product into the marketplace without spending a ton of money right away, you
yeah.
know, up front?
Yeah.
And that's when I came across Stephen Key.
Okay.
And InventRight.
Okay.
And they...
And Stephen Key wrote the book, One Simple Idea.
One Simple Idea, correct.
And you just heard last week an interview that I had with Andrew Krauss.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is the co-founder mm-hmm. of InventRight.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so I found his book online and all the reviews were just... It was people like me, same thing. It was
yeah.
like, I have this idea.
Yeah.
How do I do it?
So you found your online kind of community.
Yeah, that's right.
Of peers.
That's right. So I ordered his book.
Okay.
And as soon as I got it, I read it like cover to cover in a couple hours. I mean, I was highlighting everything. And
that's what I was doing too, and writing and
yes,
all over.
Yes,
and there's
yes.
a lot of good information.
There's
in
a
it.
Lot of good
yeah.
information. And it just seemed like it was speaking to me because
sure.
every word I was just highlighting it and
yeah.
telling my husband, you know, and So that to me was something I knew, like, okay, this is definitely, licensing is the way to go for me in this particular product.
Instead of developing a manufacturing company.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And that's just my journey. And, you know, there are many people that don't take that journey, and good for them. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
For me, this is what made sense.
Well, and Stephen and Andrew have the concept of open innovation. Mm-hmm. So they believe that you should, you know, if you're an inventor and you have a lot of ideas, you're always going to continue to have ideas. Mm-hmm. And so why not set up a business structure that won't drown you in this one product?
Correct. Right.
And eat you up with all these costs. And then you're manufacturing a company, you know, then you have a manufacturing company.
That's right.
And so you wanted to stay in the service end of it, where you're continually, you've got a company, but you're going to license your idea so other people can do the other production part.
Yep.
And you can have a smaller part in a bigger playing field.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. That's 100% right. And I can have other ideas within different categories and things of that sort versus, you know, so. But my ideas end up always being painting ideas, which is working out well.
Well, you're most familiar with it.
Yeah.
Right. And right. So as the longer you're working with something, the more you see.
Yeah. Needs, gaps,
right.
Or, you know, improvements.
Yeah.
That kind of
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure.
So basically what I did was, along with reading the book, after I really felt like I was like, you know, I am going to go through with this, I decided to join InventRight, which is their membership coaching program. But it's all self-directed. So they don't go out there for you. They don't pitch your idea for you or anything like that. It's like they just teach you how to do it yourself.
So it's a person who's self-motivated and believes so passionately in their product that you will learn and absorb and take the coaching at your own pace.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, their goal is to set you up for success and to be able to put a bunch of ideas out there. You know, as quickly as you want them to. But it's just so that you can just learn yourself and do it so you're successful the next time you want to do it too.
Yeah.
You know, so they're coaching you, they're training you how to do it instead of doing it for you.
Yes.
And then it doesn't do you any good in the future because now you don't know how to do it.
Well, and you've lost control.
Right.
Yeah. And the main thing about entrepreneurship is you need to figure out what you can control, need to control.
Yeah.
And what you can, like licensing, a legal way in which you can get your product out there and you can also be paid. Really well.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's this open innovation concept is just so wonderful for people like me.
Because it's very freeing.
It's very freeing. Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm just so excited about my journey in this open innovation part.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, before we end our show today, I would like to know a little bit more about, like, how big was the family that you grew up in?
Oh, yeah. I have a brother and a sister.
Okay.
And I'm the oldest. And
are they filled with ideas, too?
Yeah, actually, they are.
Yeah?
They are. Yeah, I would say they are, too. And I think it's just been fun for them to see me take an idea to the marketplace.
Sure.
And even friends, too. And people that I know, I think it's just been fun to see that you really can. It can really happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not easy and it takes a lot of work and not every idea is necessarily an idea that somebody is going to take on or want, but you have to be okay with the no too.
Yeah. And figure out where to cut the cord.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. That's key. It really is. I mean, you can believe in your product for so long that it can almost be a hindrance, you know, and make you, you know, lose a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So we're going to talk in the next session about the next part of your journey and the 3 years. What were the different steps that happened to move your product along?
Yeah.
And what were some pivotal questions that you asked yourself along the way? Because your idea kept going and it kept building.
Right.
And you're also a mom and a registered nurse, so you didn't give up your job to advance this idea.
No.
So it didn't totally consume your life.
Correct.
Okay. And how did you manage that?
You know, like, because everything did kind of go somewhat slowly, so it was fairly easy to manage. But as an entrepreneur, you're working late into the night when people go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, you just work at different hours, and sure. you tend to be able to do more on less sleep, I guess.
Yeah. And you know? Your work as registered nurse, did you taper your time?
So I've always worked 2 days a week.
Okay.
So, so that's, but
and
I'm also a
stay-at-home children?
Mom, two kids.
Two kids.
So, yeah, I just, I don't know. It's a balancing act, but I did it.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's gonna the beauty. You're going to keep
doing it. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Because I love everything. Yeah. I love my kids. I love my job. I love the Drip Clip and entrepreneurship and
all of
that.
You've got a husband who's supporting you?
I have
you?
A husband. Yes. Yes, very
and it
much.
Sounds like you've got a very supportive family system.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so you've
thankful.
Got all the foundational pieces
That's right.
to really help support you through kind of the ups and downs as you get it into the marketplace.
Yep, that's right. No, I'm very lucky. Very
oh,
lucky.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this has been a delight.
Yes, I
and,
loved it.
And audience, we do have some fun pictures that we can put on the website too.
I love the pictures.
Okay. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Greta, for
of
being
course.
Here.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks, Mike Cabea, our fantastic photographer.
Yes.
That beautiful eye that he's got. And editor, very awesome and great friend. So we'll see you next week, everybody. Thanks.
Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.